there. Strap in and grab your camera because you're riding shotgun on Driving Photography, the only podcast that hits the road to chase the perfect shot. Journey with Chad, your host and fellow photo fanatic, here to steer you through the ins and outs of snapping pics on the go. Each week, we'll explore the art of photography from the driver's seat, share top-notch tips you won't find in a manual, and maybe get a little lost. Because, as all great photographers know, sometimes the best finds are off the beaten path. We're all about catching those fleeting moments in the rear view and the horizon ahead. So, let's roll down the windows, crank up the tunes, and see where the road and our lenses take us.
All right, everybody. So this is lesson two of macro photography, and we're going to talk about subject. So right now I'm walking around my neighborhood, and we're going to try to figure out what subjects you can shoot while we're out here. Yes, of course, I have my camera with me, at least one of them. And, well, everywhere you look around you, you have some sort of object that you can take a picture of. Like right here, we have grass all over the place, obviously. You have concrete on the sidewalk. You have trees all around you. And in yardscapes, you have mulch. Or right here, we have some red lava rock. Red lava rock would be neat to take a picture of. It's porous. It's a good texture. It's in the middle of the sun. Of course, it's under a tree, so there are some spots that are in the shade. You can get all kinds of different types of shots with that type of subject. We have bushes, plants, trees, flowers, all kinds of different things that we can actually use as subjects for macro photography. We've just been walking for, a minute and a half or so, and we've already found a whole bunch of different subjects that you can use. There's butterflies flying around. There's a bird in the sky. There's a lot of things to shoot. Finding a subject for macro photography is not a difficult proposition. There's always something with texture. Like this house here has a stucco external, which if you get really close up to it and shoot on an angle, will give you a really nice texture. You'll be able to see all of the bumps and hills and valleys in the texture of the house. Again, we have some of that volcanic stone, pumice stone, whatever they want to call it, more texture, different types of trees. This is a really good one with the different types of bark and color in the bark. Let's see what we can do with this one. Let's zoom in here, get one-to-one, an ant crossing there. There's all kinds of different things you can shoot. There's insects, obviously. Like we said, the ant was crawling over there at the piece there. There's people all around. There's, if you want to shoot skin, that's an interesting texture every now and then, especially if you get different things that are a little off with the skin, like blemishes and whatnot. There's some dead wood. It looks like it was pulled out of a creek or lake or something. There's some bark for mulch. There's a weed. That's a very large weed. Probably should be pulled, but it has neat flowers and leaves on it. And here's a dying piece of pampas grass that would be really neat to shoot with all the different textures and overlying dead leaves. It's not very colorful, but it's very interesting looking. We've got seeds falling from the trees right now. We've got green and red from holly bush. Electrical things, they have neat patinas that after they've been out in the weather for a while. Different types of grass. Weeds in the cracks of the sidewalk here isn't bad either. They've got like a moss or really short grass, different types of little weeds that grow in between the cracks of the sidewalk. They're neat. A different type of tree bark. See if we can get a shot of that. And all of these shots that I'm taking today, if I deem them good enough, or get the time to edit them, we'll put up on the website so that you can see what we're talking about when we're walking around here. There's all kinds of different subjects that you can get. Here's a lily, and if you get really close, you get really neat texture from how the veins and the leaves come together. There's lichen. I saw that just a second ago. It wasn't in a great spot. That lily leaf will look really neat as a texture. Got fences, so you have all different types of wood. Another different type of tree that I haven't seen before, but still same type of bark. So there's going to be a lot of different pieces of this where I'm not talking because I am looking around a lot. We have lots of leaves. So you can get really close to a leaf and get neat textures on those. Those are maple leaves. See what that comes out like. There's bubblegum on the side of the, on the sidewalk. There's little flowers in the clover and little purple flowers. And I mean, some of these are so small that even at macro levels, you're going to be not getting a full frame image out of them. And sometimes that can be neat to see as well. Like these over here are purple, little purple flowers. And I want to try to get that and see what it comes out like, because that'll be a little interesting thing. Clovers have the little white flowers that people used to make crowns out of. You have daisies, dandelions. Of course, the clover themselves have neat patterns in their leaves. Larger purple flowers, but I don't want to go in that man's yard. So while you're going around looking as well, you have to make sure that you don't trespass. Trespassing is something that we don't do. Here's some fir. Look at that. See what that comes out like. Looks like a bunny rabbit got in a fight. Stay on the sidewalk, stay in the street. Don't go into people's yards without permission. If you see somebody outside, say hi, ask them permission to shoot something on their yard. You don't want to break any laws. You don't want to piss anybody off. You're not trying to be rude. Don't give photography a bad name. Don't be a jerk. So walking around here a little bit, let's see what else we've got. We got more different flowers, and we got a fire hydrant here. All of our fire hydrants, they've just recently painted. Instead of being red and white or just red, they are now blue and yellow. I'm not sure what the reason for that is, but you know, it is what it is. I'm sure they have some sort of color coding, or maybe it's just easier to find blue and yellow and when you're looking for one. Or it could be the type of water or whatever that they're using. You have spray paint in the street. You have the dirt in the gutter here. That has some neat shapes to it when it dries out and cracks. We have people driving around on a four-wheeler. More different things in the cracks of the sidewalk. Now, see, we're just walking around in my neighborhood on the sidewalk, not even going into any of the parks or anything like that. There's a park across the street here, and we're finding all kinds of different subjects to shoot macro with. There's bricks here that have neat textures on them as well. I got rock here for filler with pavers, and you can shoot those to get different types of textures and possibly art out of it if you change the contrast. And we'll be talking about different things for editing macro photos in an upcoming episode. And park benches, different insects in the grass, different insects on the trees. They got a spider here. We got a ladybug that's mostly black with red dots instead of red with black dots. So that would be interesting. No, I didn't shoot it. It's wasn't in a good spot for the sun, and it's kind of cloudy today. So we have to be careful about what we shoot. And I'm also not shooting with a high-end camera today. You got a kid playing basketball here. Motorcycle in the distance. Didn't want to talk for a little while there since somebody's outside. You don't want to look like a complete crazy person talking to yourself. Got another shot of some lichen on a tree. It was growing in a fan pattern. It was pretty neat looking. So we'll see what that looks like when we edit it. On the website, I'll try to update everybody as to how I edited the photo, what I did. Most of the time, my editing will take place in just Lightroom. I won't do much in Photoshop unless I need to get in and edit a piece of something, or, I don't know, change. Usually it's for people when I'm editing for blemishes or skin texture or changing the hair or whatever like that. So most of these will be edited fully in Lightroom. And they won't be edited too much. Now here the sidewalk's changed into a different pattern. It has more rock in it than it does concrete. Just like most of these driveways. And that has a neat look to it, especially if you find a rock that's kind of quartzish and shiny. Let's see if I can find one here. It's hard to tell in this light. There's one. I don't know how that came out. I can't really tell. I'm gonna cross the road here real quick. Got a car coming. And so one of the things I was starting to say earlier is I'm not using my good camera. I'm not using my Nikon. I'm using a Sony bridge camera from, I don't know, 2015 or somewhere around in there. I don't actually remember when I bought this. It is a Sony RX10 III. It has a 24 to 600 millimeter lens on it. It's not the best glass, but it is really sharp. It is not Nikon glass, but it's still Zeiss, so it's still a nice lens. Not as fast as the Nikon. Of course, remember I shoot Nikon, so I'll talk about that mostly. I used to shoot Canon, but I don't have much experience with their digital cameras. When I switched to digital, I switched to Nikon, and I haven't moved back, so. Birds all around. If you could get a really close-up shot of a bird, and the 600mm lens really helps do stuff like that. You won't get macro, but you can get close up to them and get a good shot. Oop, there goes a lizard. Well, what do we got? The camera is still good. I mean, it's a $1,000 camera roughly when I bought it. You can probably get it for $300 now if you can find them. I don't know what the latest version is. There's probably a 4 out or something. If they even start making bridge cameras at all anymore. And yeah, it's a decent camera to walk around with. It's not the expensive one, so I don't have to worry about it so much. It gets good images. I can do macro work. I can do regular work. I can do portrait work. I can do landscapes. It has a 600mm lens, so you can shoot distance. Fully manual operation. Right now, I'm shooting in aperture priority, of course. But since we're shooting macro, I'm not really worrying about it too much. Leaving it down as low as I can, or around f4, f5.6, somewhere around in there, depending on the light. And yeah, so I mean, you don't have to use the highest end equipment to get macro shots. It makes it easier, it makes it faster, it makes it better sometimes, depending on what you're moving from and to. But it's never just one thing. Here's a old Cox communication thing. I'm going to get up real close, get some of the green and brown patina on this without getting lens in the way. Yeah, those are pretty good. I have a little texture there, a little bit of color. Wow, we had a fire here. A lot of damage to that house. That's sad. It was a really hot fire, too. It damaged the house behind it. There's a lot of brown trees at the backyard and everything. That's sad to see. So this one's going a little bit longer, but, I mean, we're walking around doing this together, so we're finding different subjects and talking about different things. This tree has a lot of, it looks like soot from maybe when the fire happened. But it's interesting with some of these lines. Looks like people have scratched it or the tree's grown. Get up here and take some of that. Can't do that. Let's try that again. That's better. So the reason we couldn't do that was I was on to f5.6. Took a shot. It was a little bit blurry because of the handshake. This does have in-camera anti-vibration or whatever you want to call it. And it was still a little bit too dark, even shooting at 35 millimeters. And it was just, so I went down to 2.4. No trouble. 2.8. No trouble. So what else we got around here? That was on a tree. There are some lines with some soot. And we'll see what that comes out like. It was interesting to see the lines on there. And after I've cut all the junk out of this one with no talking and just whatever, there's probably going to be a lot less time, obviously. But we've been going about 25 minutes now on this walk. And we've got 4 or 5 shots. I don't know if any of them will come out, but that's the fun part. You just go around, take shots of things that you see. Like here, we've got the sun with shadows and everything going because it is a pampas grass that is growing this time. So if we can get in here and shoot this, can't zoom in that far if we can't focus that close. And now the sun went in. I don't know if that's going to be any good or not. I think the best shot that we're going to get is that lichen and the lily leaf. I think those two are going to be excellent. And we'll see how they turn out. So once again, we're going around the neighborhood. We're just looking around, seeing what we see. We've got sidewalks. We've got the street, which is asphalt. We've got metal all over the place from potholes or manholes and water covers and stuff like that. You've got the concrete from the sidewalk. You got trees with bark and different things growing on it and knot holes and leaves and flowers in some of them. You got bushes. You've got really neat flowers. Look at these. Nice and pink with a four-way stamen. Let's see what we can do. Get up on that. Let's see if we can show you that one. This one has a neat coloration to it with a dead one right behind it. See what they look like. And see, we're just walking around. Just find flowers, find grass, find mulch, find, here's some really neat moss. There you go. See what the moss can be turned into when we edit. You got cars. Since they're in public, you can shoot them as long as you don't touch them. Flowers, mulch, rock. What else? Signs, metal signs that has neat patinas and different colorings and stuff like that from weather. And in my neighborhood, we have well water. So there's the oranging of the well water. From the well water, I mean. Just rust. And branches and roots. Roots with knots. Look at these knots. These are neat. Let's see what we get off of that. And remember, a lot of these things are smaller than your sensor. So you're still going to be getting macro, but it's still going to fill, it's not going to fill your whole frame, your whole picture frame. So it's just one of those things you got to pay attention to. You'll get the one-to-one ratio, but it won't fill the whole frame. Especially some of these small flowers and stuff like that. They got roses. All right, we're coming up on the end of our walk here. It's been close to 30 minutes, and we've talked about a whole bunch of different things that you can use for subjects for macro photography, just walking around your neighborhood. Now, there are a lot of things that you can do inside the studio or inside your house to create better, or different, I should say, macro photos using lighting and shadow and highlights and different textures around the house. One thing I can think of is like aluminum foil. You can crumple that up and get texture. You can use it as a backdrop. You can use it as a light reflector. Many things you can do. So maybe next time we'll do another episode on macro subjects and see how that goes. Maybe we'll do some indoor ones this time, or maybe we'll go to a forest, or there's a lot of other things you can do. Oh, another thing that I see here is little lawn ornament of gnomes. Lawn ornaments, as they get older, get a lot of texture and wear and tear to them, and they make neat subjects. So as the breeze picks up, we're going to call it a day. Thanks for hanging out with us on this lesson, and we'll see you on the next one. Have a great day. Have a great weekend. Enjoy the shoot and enjoy the journey, and we'll see you next time. Bye.